So this morning, the members of our preaching team, specifically Nicole and Joel, will be sharing with us as we talk about the discipline of kingdom prayer.
The moment I wake up, before I put on my makeup, I say a little prayer for you. While combing my hair now, and wondering what dress to wear now, I say a little prayer for you. Forever, forever, you'll stay in my heart, and I will love you forever.
That song, that was I Say a Little Prayer, a song written by some names I can't pronounce because I didn't read them first, but it was for Dionne Warwick, who is singing that just now. It wasn't me. In case you were confused about that, it peaked at number 4 on the U.S. Billboard charts in the year 1967, close, very good. As you can see by the title of our sermon, we are going to be talking about the discipline of kingdom prayer. That's the tie-in there. A discipline in which we posture ourselves before the ruler of the universe. When we enter into kingdom prayer, we take a few deep breaths. We pray to submit all things into God's presence, care, and enabling. And we're letting go of our egos, agendas, and personal issues. In essence, we are opening up space for God to work. David Fitch, in his book, Faithful Presence, writes, "The drive for control is at the core of the human condition. We live daily with overwhelming uncertainties. Anxiety is the air we breathe in the Western economies. Most people live isolated, vulnerable lives, and so we strive as individuals to secure our existence in every way. We strive to make our finances, our health, our family, our future predictable." That's pretty much why we had a growth group last semester called Challenging Self-Reliance, which is all about getting need of the need for control, the need for certainty. He goes on to say, most of us live under the delusion that we are in control of our lives. As a result, endless striving characterizes our existence. Most of us are not aware of how much it's affecting us physically and emotionally. God can't work amid our striving. Now, I'm not saying that God absolutely cannot work. I think that sometimes he chooses not to give the results we're looking for when I'm in the midst of my trying to control. There was a period of time in my life in which I chose to be a mediator between two really hurting family members. It was a really nasty battle. It was legal. They couldn't actually be in the same room. And I took it upon myself as the one who had to fix it. It was between my sisters. I'm a middle child. So fill in the blank there. It was absolutely what you would imagine. I tried to fix things. And it took me coming to the end of my rope after a year of trying to hold on. You know, he talks about physically and emotionally what that does to us. My hair turned gray all of a sudden in certain spots, or blue even. That's the opposite of stress right there. And my health really started to deteriorate. I started having sleep paralysis and different things. And I got to the end of my rope, and I just said, okay, I can't do this. And I checked out a little bit. I took a break. And in that moment, that day, the Lord started reconciliation there. Now, do I believe that the Lord was working the whole time? Absolutely. But I didn't see the result of the Lord's work until I let go. And that's what we're talking about here in this. He can work amid our striving, and he does so. But when we are locked in fear mode and not faith mode, we can't see what God is doing, and we fail to receive the peace that goes with the blessings. The Honorable Reverend Sleepy Ray always says, as of this morning during sermon prep, anxiety kills what faith reveals. The Apostle Paul writes it this way, challenging the Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer is the opposite of striving and anxiousness. Or it can be. Sometimes when we pray, we just ask, okay, God, you just really need to do this thing the way that I'm telling you to do it. But the kind of prayer we're talking about today is the opposite of striving and anxiousness. In everything, we are to resist that striving and instead present ourselves before God in prayer. Paul actually separates prayer from petition, putting it first. Prayer, as we will discover, is the profound act of giving up control of a situation and turning it over to the reign of God. Therefore, we have said that kingdom prayer is making space for God's presence by surrendering to his will in a specific time and place. It's not the anxious, Lord, I need you to do this, 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 and this, and I'd like it by this. It's none of that. It's making space. It's taking our will, our agenda, our ego, our motivation, putting it to the side, trusting the Lord with that, surrendering to him in a specific time and place. Jesus teaches us how to do this in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's only after this part of the prayer that Jesus does instruct us to ask for our daily needs and all those sorts of things, but it's only after we have entered this space that we ask. In teaching the Lord's Prayer this way, Jesus is urging us to start off every prayer with submission of our life and desires to the kingdom from which our prayer life and petitions flow. Prayer opens up space for his kingdom and for us to participate in his kingdom. And we call this discipline kingdom prayer. Striving is at the core of the world. Prayer dislodges us from this striving and opens up space. Then his kingdom is able to move in. Another David Fitch quote, God's power can only work through us as we submit to him. Let him work. Open up space for him. As we gather in his presence, submit to him and tend to his presence. He then works in all his power. In praying this prayer, we are diverted away from focusing on the things I long for and desire. We must cease the striving first before we petition God. We address God as our Father who is in heaven. We bow before him as the one sitting at the seat of all authority in heaven and on earth. When we push our desires and agendas aside, we make space for the Lord and all of his authority to enter in. This prayer gathers us to be with him in submission to his authority. not only over our lives, but the entire world. Jesus then instructs us to say, "Let your name be holy." And by praying that we not only acknowledge God is sovereign, working over the whole earth, but he can be trusted in to be perfect in every way. I'm going to say that again. He can be trusted to be perfect in every way. By praying, "Let your name be holy," we are submitting to him so space can be opened up for his perfect ways to be made manifest in our midst. The next words, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Guide our hearts, our minds, our souls into a joining together in order to submit to the King. We are in essence pledging to cooperate with God. Not saying, "God, this is what I want to do. I'd really appreciate if you'd bless this." But instead saying, "You're doing something here, Lord. Tell me what it is so that I can join you. Tell me what it is so I can cooperate with you. I don't have to be the one that has the answers. You are." Our attention is guided by this prayer to his power, majesty, grace, and authority, and a space is opened up for him to work. Jesus refers his disciples to the posture of prayer in which they submit the situation to God's reign. This is the foundation of faithful presence. Only in kingdom prayer can we truly prepare ourselves to participate in what God will do. When we try to take a situation upon ourselves and do it ourselves, we are impotent in the kingdom. The authority of the king will not be present, but submit to God in this profound way of kingdom prayer, and the space is opened up for his power and authority to break in. All our other concerns for provision and safety and forgiveness flow from here. As we are formed by his will over our lives, all of our desires become shaped by him. His reign becomes a social reality. It creates the social space for his presence. It opens up the way for his kingdom to break in, and it enables us to participate in that kingdom. Roman Catholic priest Vincent Donovan puts it this way: "When we pray, 'Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,' we not only open our lives to God's inbreaking presence, creating anew, we are saying we ourselves are willing to be involved as the participant in his presence. Indeed, as a part of something new God is bringing into the world. It shapes us together for mission. It is the founding discipline that constitutes his people into his faithful presence." When it comes to church, sometimes I'm tempted to go through the motions. Prayer is just another task on a list of order of events, right? Okay, well, we have growth groups, so we'll start with this, and then we'll end with that, and we'll do this, and we'll get kind of caught along the way. My inclination is to get things done. I'm a J on the Myers-Briggs. Man, I like lists. I like tasks. Let's get through this. Let's get it done. Let's pray. Let's get moving. And our culture is often ingrained in me the need to just get things done. But I'd venture to say I'm not the only one who looks at it this way. A lot of what we could call church is run on this sort of self-generated energy. Okay, we're going to do this because this is what we do, and we're going to just keep going. We're going to do these different things. And God can even use us in this mode. Nonetheless, this way of operating produces human effort with little cooperation with God. But when we take time to decenter ourselves from ourselves and instead center ourselves on Christ, something powerful happens, and it is far from routine. In James chapter 5, James writes, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praises. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." When we open up space for God to move, different things can happen. It opens up space for God to work and for us to cooperate. It opens up space for the inbreaking of the kingdom of God. It changes the entire nature of what goes on here. Songs of praise, healing, confession, all of these things take place. This is the kingdom, and it's powerful. It's the model by which we operate here at the Vineyard. Every Sunday morning, there's an opportunity for you to gather. I believe it's in the youth room. Where's Roseanne? She can nod at me. She's teaching. She's being faithfully present somewhere else. But with intercessory prayer, what you guys are doing is asking for the kingdom of God to come here, to break into other people's lives. You're praying for this service. You're asking for the Lord's will to be done, for his kingdom to happen here. That's what intercessory prayer is. It's not, I'm coming with my own agenda and this is what I want to see happen. It's interceding. It's saying, you've got a need. Let's bring it before the Lord. And let's let the Lord break through. At the end of every service, we have ministry teams. And it's never a time for us to pull out our tips and tricks of the trade. Oh, yes, if you've got that, it requires this. You know, that's what I loved about Jesus spitting into some guy's eye. Because that was the right answer once. I'm not eliminating that from being a right answer again. But, you know, it's not necessarily routine. We open up space. We hear someone else's heart. We say, okay, God, what do you want to do here? We listen and we wait on the Lord to move. That's why we say in the church, kingdom prayer happens when we rely on God's power for the results. We make space, but the results aren't ours. The results are God's. No prayer is too big or too small for God to break through. And that's why prayer is so important. Prayer of all needs for all of God's people. In Ephesians, Paul writes, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." When God's people are engaged with the Spirit and prayer, the kingdom is brought here. Kingdom prayer gathers us into Christ's presence. It creates this local space for God's kingdom to come, and it sets the stage for Christ's presence to become visible. Not only is it visible in the church, but in our neighborhood and the world at large. We most easily learn how to pray kingdom prayer together with Christians. In the church, we gather together intently as one people submitted to one Lord. We are already committed to discern the kingdom. But of course, kingdom prayer must not be sequestered among Christians in our church meetings. We must continually practice kingdom prayer as groups in our neighborhoods and as individuals representing our communities. Prayer is a natural response to the struggles and pains we engage together as a people in everyday life. In the book of Matthew, there's a story about Jesus at one of his disciples' homes that shows the inbreaking of the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 14, it says, "When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she got up and began to wait on them. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word and healed all the sick." Now, Jesus didn't audibly pray, but what we can clearly see is that Jesus engaged with the Father in that moment and did what he saw the Father doing. Through that simple act of engaging with the Father in that moment, many more were brought to Jesus and many more were healed. And kingdom prayer can have this sort of snowballing effect. As I mentioned earlier, with my family situation, all it took was for me to step back for one day. I really needed to get away. I confessed that I was not going to be able to be present for either one of them. And the Lord used that moment for them to reconcile. And I was flabbergasted. I thought that their whole reconciliation sat squarely on my shoulders, and it simply wasn't true. And not only did they reconnect that day, it started with a text message, hey, I just wanted you to know I'm here for you. But it turned into something so much more. Within a couple of weeks and months, my sisters were talking to each other daily. They were visiting each other. They were talking without talking to me. And it was amazing to see how the Lord used that to snowball. When his kingdom comes in, when we step out of the way and say, Lord, do what you're going to do, more happens than what we anticipate. The simplest and easiest thing to do when we meet someone in the midst of struggle and pain and uncertainty or need is to offer to pray. And that can be a scary thing. I think more often than not, we're more inclined to say, I'm really sorry to hear you're going through that. I'll pray for you. But what if we said, I'm really sorry to hear you're going through that. Do you mind if I pray for you right now? Do you mind if I open up space right now to see what the Lord wants to do? Even if the person is a stranger, the invitation to pray is rarely turned down. Prayer is the door that opens space for a conversation, an encounter with God, an opportunity to proclaim the gospel to those who are hurting and in pain. But to simply spring prayer onto someone as a tool to get them to an evangelistic moment is a mistake. There must be a connection. We must be present to that person and to Christ's presence at work. Prayer is not contextless. True kingdom prayer demands we know and are involved in a situation concretely enough that an actual space is formed by our joining in prayer together. Here's the space we submit real situations to his lordship. Sometimes with social media, it feels like you can just spray out prayers. You can just send a chain letter or whatever it is. You can prayers everywhere. That's not how kingdom prayer works. Jesus starts with our Father. If he's praying, why isn't it my Father? He's praying our Father because this is something we do together. This isn't just, I'm going to pray for you, but I'm going to do that in my secret space, and I'm just going to keep that separate. It's something we do together. Social media has promoted that sense that anybody can pray for anybody apart from any social situation, and I'm not saying stop praying for people on social media, but that's not what kingdom prayer is. Kingdom prayer demands a location and a presence. Here in the Vineyard, we have different opportunities to invite people in our neighborhood in and pray for their needs. I'm reminded a lot of the big food giveaway, which, you know, the main hoist of the whole thing is giving away food. But that's not what it was about. I'm reminded of the Pritchards who just decided to just join in and say, we want to pray for people. You can have us do something else, but that's what we're going to do. And so they went out there and they prayed for people. And so many of you others throughout the years, and Misty and all the folks who get in line and get to know people's needs and ask for an opportunity to pray and then pray for them. I think it was this year or the year before, you guys prayed for a healing and you went a couple cars down and that person flagged you back down to say, it worked. I'm healed, right? Amen. Amen. The Lord is always at work. And sometimes are striving to get there, but if we step aside and say, okay, Lord, we're going to ask for this thing. Sometimes he does that. Yesterday with the Halloween redo, even, I was reminded that there were opportunities there. I loved the idea that Brian turned it into, we're giving away hot dogs because the Astros won. You know, finding something to connect with people, to say, let's celebrate together, you know, drive through, get a hot dog. I think at one point people were even handing out hot dogs into people's cars. You know, I'm not sure I would have taken that, but I admire the folks who did, who even within their cars, engaged with our community. Giving out candy, being present, those are all opportunities where we're the hosts to say, hey, come on in. If you want something, you have something, no strings attached. But if you're open, I'm going to talk to you and I'm going to get to know you. And if the Lord presents something on my heart because I'm making space, I might ask, can I pray for you? I mean, you don't say all those words up front, but you know what I mean. It can be that simple. Kingdom prayer penetrates all the situations and encounters of our daily lives. We need to practice it in all of the areas of our lives. We need to live within the frame of this kingdom prayer. It opens spaces and extends Christ's presences into our neighborhoods. In these spaces, when people submit to Christ's presence, Christ's power is unleashed. Healings, reconciliation, peace breaks out in Jesus' name. In the neighborhood, kingdom prayer actively creates opportunities for ministry. And that's all we're doing. Maybe we connect with something, with a person in one of these big food giveaways or handing out candy or hot dogs or face painting children, whatever it is. Maybe the Lord lays something on our hearts, and maybe God uses that and he creates opportunities for ministry. It doesn't have to be as complex and planned out as things like the food giveaway or other ministry opportunities we host, though. In Matthew, Jesus tells us, again, truly, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am. Two or three gathered in my name, I'm there. He's pretty easygoing, it looks like. And as the world looks on in wonder, asking what has made such happenings possible, these things are not possible by human effort. It doesn't start and end with us. We just create space. And as we've talked about creating space in our churches and in our neighborhoods, I'm going to bring up Joel now to talk about where else we create that space.
I've got my preaching shoes on today. It drives Raymond crazy if he can see your toes on stage. So I'm just going to make sure that that's out there. They're technically shoes, but only technically. All right, so in John 5, Jesus says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate, we all know where that is. No, you know, a pool, you know, it's kind of like somebody's like giving you directions. Well, we all know where the Sheep Gate is, just right up from the Sheep Gate, which is in Aramaic, is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. So Jesus is just kind of in town for the festival, and he's wandering around. He sees this pool where the sick people hang out, and they hung out there because they believed that the pool had some healing properties, and so they were trying to get in. So one who was there, who had been an invalid for 38 years, when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked them, do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. Again, he thinks this is where his healing is going to come from if he can just get into the water. And while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. And then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And at once, the man was cured. He picked up his mat, and he walked. So a lot's been written about this, but I want to key in on just a couple of main things. And one of them that's interesting to me is any time that Jesus just, like, heals one person, that's interesting to me. You know, because there's these passages, surely, where there's, like, crowds of people coming to him, and then there's these other times where he just kind of slips in, and he heals the one person, and then he kind of leaves. And sometimes he's even like, don't tell anybody this happened. But that's interesting to me. So, first of all, he's just healing the one guy. there's something going on there. He's drawn to this one person for whatever reason. He can see that God is doing something there, and he goes to this one person, offers the invitation for prayer, and then they go from there. The other thing, of course, is that this isn't Jesus' turf. Like I said, like he's walking around, and the opportunity presents itself, and he just responds to that. And that's interesting to me. Just the idea, to me, is powerful, that he's walking around. It means that he's not in his house and he's not just in the church. He's walking around and he's out in the community and here's this thing going on. In the book Faithful Presence we've been going through, David Fitch talks a lot about prayer walks and the value of just walking through the community and praying for houses, praying over homes and people and what's going on in schools and all of these sorts of things. And there's something about seeing the community and seeing what's going on, I think, that puts things in your head so that you can pray for it. Because otherwise, the stuff that's coming in is what's coming in through the TV, which is generally depressing. And certainly we should pray for those things as well. But there's something tangible about walking around the community and seeing a need that's right there. And so if any of you are like me, I probably need to use this as an opportunity to also begin getting some exercise. You know, I could walk, I could walk around, and that would be good for my body as well as my soul. So note to self on that one. And we used to do more, I think, of these prayer walks and things like that. But for those of you that maybe even as I'm saying this, that's exciting to you, let the Holy Spirit do what he's going to do there, and let's get some of that going. There's something powerful about being just out in community and praying for things as you're seeing them. And if you're like me, it's difficult for me to just pray in a room. It's actually a heck of a lot easier if I'm walking around and doing something and engaged and God's bringing things to mind. And I think there's something powerful there. But he's just out in the community. I had an opportunity recently that was really just interesting. So I was at a concert, and it was not a Christian concert, right? And I didn't go there to minister to people. I was there, actually, Nicole and I went to the concert. And before it started, the two of us, we struck up a conversation with the guy that was just standing next to us, okay? No idea who he is, just a stranger, but we got some time to kill. And when you're in that kind of a public setting, otherwise it's just awkward because you're sharing intimate space with this person, but you do not know their name or anything else. And so you can either just relish that awkwardness, or you break the silence. Oh, what's going on? You know, are you a fan? You know, do you know what's going on? You started a conversation there. Anyway, and it was just a normal conversation. We talked about kind of what he did. He ended up being a high school theater teacher, and that led to some conversations. And he just kind of shared us his heart for theater, for music, and for different things. And it was just kind of a normal, hey, I don't know you, let's talk for a few minutes while we wait for this thing to start kind of conversation. But I was just struck with something. I just could feel God's love for this young man. And after the concert, you know, I went up to him and I just talked to I went up to him. I turned. it sounds like I did more work than I actually did in that moment. So I just turned to him and I just said, you know, it was so good to meet you. I want you to know that your students, that the kids are really lucky to have you. You are clearly a very passionate person. But I know that where there's passion, there's pain. And passionate people live painful lives. And so I just pray God's protection over you in that. And I pray that he would bring people around you that can support you kind of in life. And to, you know, just pray for good relationships. You're clearly a good guy, and you're passionate about what you're doing. And anyway, it was just real quick, and there wasn't a lot of context to it, so much so that, like, after I did it, I turned into Nicole. I'm like, was that too weird? And she told me it wasn't, but again, I guess probably he's the only one that can really answer that question, whether it was. And so he may be telling this story, and it may be going very differently to the people that he's telling it to. But, you know, we mentioned the fact that, you know, Raymond's playing at Red Rook on Friday. And so maybe some of you guys will go to that concert and you'll have your own stories. But, God is doing something everywhere. That's the assumption, that anyone you encounter, God is doing something at work. And if there's something in your soul that you just, there's something drawing you to this person, right? Like kind of like, I guess, this guy with at the pool of Bethesda with Jesus, there was something about this guy that Jesus approached this one, right? And so maybe if there's just some weird connection that you have in the doctor's office, that may be God doing something there. And as long, another, again, you may look weird. And if you're like me, like you are, so you're just, and that's just maybe letting them know what actually it is. But in the world, let me give you the fill in the blank before I get too mired in my own weirdness. In the world, kingdom prayer happens when we take risks and trust God is at work everywhere and in everyone. Like I said, my risk wasn't ultimately all that huge in that moment, just looking weird, which, as I said, is just the way it is anyway. some of you have a hunger, though. I get this is one of the things I want to key on, a hunger or a passion or something that's kind of pulling you out into the world. So, like, for me, my love of this band got me out of my house, and probably more so for some of you, it takes something to get me out of my house on a, you know, on a Saturday night when I know I have to be at church the next morning. Like, it's going to take a little work to get me out there, out and about. I'd like to go to bed early and these sorts of things. But got me out and created the opportunity for this encounter. I mean, so some of you guys have passions that don't seem like spiritual passions, interests, hobbies, things that are getting you out into the community. And I think God may be doing that to get you up and get you out of the community. Some of those things are very very just powerful in their engagement. I know Ashley and Savannah now have started rock climbing, right? And they've started rock climbing actually at Nicole, where Nicole works at the gym down in Spring. And so they've just engaged a lot of people in these really organic friendships, right? People who aren't in our community and many of whom aren't believers. And they're people that maybe Nicole had already started kind of seeding these friendships a little bit with just, you know, seasoned with salt kind of thing, the conversations, just speaking into those people's lives. But something's happening, and I can't help as I'm watching these things happen, see that God is at work in forming these relationships and these friendships. And so I guess I would encourage you guys in that, you know, go to Red Brick, go do these things that get you out in community, and then just be faithful, even if it makes you look weird, to speak a word of encouragement to somebody. You know, ask if you can pray for them. Because the thing is again, pretty much all the time, most people have something they're struggling with. You know, if it's not themselves, it's a family member or something. Pain is just a normal part of life, right? And it doesn't take long if somebody has any openness to a conversation or interaction, they're going to start opening up to you about those things. And that's just an opportunity, as Nicole mentioned, to say, hey, how about can I pray for you about that? Can we do that? And for some people, it is kind of weird, and they may say no, but a lot of times I think you'd be amazed at just how often somebody would say, you know what, that would be great. I would love it if you prayed for me. So I want to encourage you in that and encourage you to find those things, whether it's like me, like I need to probably get out and go for a walk, like even just physically, that would be good for me. You know, or, you know, if there's, again, some type of passion or hobby or interest that maybe is pulling you into the community, that maybe ask yourself if maybe God's doing something there to get you engaged with others in spreading this gospel, this good news, for being a faithful presence out in the community. Stand with me if you will. Much is written about prayer in the Bible, but there's some, you know, specific texts that have to do with, you know, praying for others. And one of those is 1 Timothy in chapter 2, Paul says this. He says, I urge, first of all, that all petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, Okay, now he goes on and specifically says, hey, for kings and those in authority. And certainly that's where some of our anxiety, which we mentioned, comes from, maybe what's going on in government or whatever. And it is just another opportunity to submit those things and give them over to God and pray for his will to be done in that situation. But he says that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good, and it pleases God, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And again, this is one passage in which our prayer for others is very closely linked to kind of those who do not yet know God. And so let's be praying for our community. Let's be praying for our leaders. Let's be praying for our schools. God is at work out in the world beyond what you know. And he has a desire for you to partner with him in that work beyond what you know. And it doesn't come from the fact that we've got all the right plans or all the right moves, you know, because it's just about our openness, about submitting and surrendering ourselves to what God is doing in the moment and just creating that space for God to come and inhabit and make himself known. And so we've had a few weeks here to talk about what faithful presence means. And my hope is that it's more than a sermon series, but it becomes, again, that much more ingrained in who we are as a community and who we are as individuals, that we would be that to this community, that to Conroe we would exhibit faithful presence in all the ways that that looks like, through prayer, through being with the least of these, through being with children, through communion and fellowship, through all of the things that we've talked about. And what would that look like? And so I pray even just now that God would begin to just enliven our imaginations, that the very Spirit of God would come and would fall on us and rest on us in this moment, bringing to mind new vision and new mission for what that would look like. If the prayer team, if those that are on the ministry team would begin making your way forward, we're going to be down here. We're going to be praying with you this morning about whatever is going on, that we want to be present with you in your pain or in your excitement. We want to mourn with you. We want to celebrate with you. Wherever you're at, we're here to pray with you to come before God together. And so you can begin making your way down wherever you're at. If you're in physical pain, again, we believe that Jesus healed folks. In the Bible, we believe he's still healing folks. Whether there is someone in your family who you are just torn up about, right? You fear for their life. You fear for their marriage. You fear for just general well-being. We want to pray for you in that. We believe that God heals marriages. We believe that God heals relationships. If there's a financial need, whatever your need is, come on down and let's pray. But I also want to pray specifically for those that want to be a prayer, right? To those maybe in times past you've been a really just faithful intercessor or be one of these people that's constantly asking folks if they want prayer and those sorts of things. I just want to pray for you that God would empower you to be a minister of his gospel in that way, in the form of prayer. But regardless of those things, whichever of those it is, or if it's something else obviously I didn't mention, please come down. Let's pray with you. I'm going to pray over you as you go. I believe we have lunch next door. No, we do not have lunch next door. I am continually speaking false things. hopefully the other things that I said today were true. if there's not, there will be a money-back guarantee on that. 101 is in the back, so those of you who signed up for Vineyard 101, we will be faithfully present to you in that way. But the rest of you are out of luck on lunch. You've got to ask the person next to you to take you out to lunch. That's how that works. All right, I'm going to pray over you as you go, since I've completely. All right. Father God, we just thank you so much for your faithful presence, God, in our joy and laughter and in our grief, Father. we pray that this week as we go, we would go in the very Spirit of God, that regardless of the spaces that we're in our homes, in our workplaces, and just out in the world at large, that we would go as ministers of the gospel of Christ. And so pray that as you go, you would be blessed in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.